to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning, the 24th of November 2020. Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes, running you through the latest in the world of racing and sport, and there is plenty to get through. Might not be much sport on the field, but there is certainly plenty happening off it. We saw that yesterday with David Noble being revealed as the North Melbourne coach. And he spoke yesterday about what sort of playing style he's hoping to attack 2021 with the North Melbourne playing group.
I'd like to kick goals. I want to score and I want to have a hard edge of defence to us as well. I think, you know, we need to build a platform of capacity to play finals.
Meanwhile, David Warner has spoken with Joe Burns about their opening partnership, but he's happy with Burns or Pekoski. Here he is talking about the opening spot.
At the end of the day, it's upon the selectors to pick their team, and you know, I've got to be happy with that and just embrace it.
We'll get his thoughts on both potential partners in just a second, plus plenty more making news in the world of racing and sport on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Yes, we'll be with you for another 25 minutes before we kick off the Breakfast Club at 6 o'clock. Plenty to get through on the show this morning as well. Russell Milton will join Half and Whitey from 6.30 with the latest from the UK. They're coming out of lockdown. More on that in just a second. Quite an extraordinary situation. The early mail before 7 o'clock. And then Jimmy Bartel, Geelong, a legend, to jump on after 7 to join the guys. And then we've got a few local legends with some fantastic stories from the weekend, including Jack Driver from the Geelong City Cricket Club and also Luke Breen, who has an amazing story playing for the Queensland Lions FC up there in Queensland. It was an amazing story that you might have seen in the paper, but I'm looking forward to hearing from Luke today. Merrick Watts will also join the guys after 7.45 this morning from SAS Australia. Of course, radio personality himself for a couple of decades, but geez, hasn't he gone well on SAS? And after 8 o'clock, looking forward to hearing from David Noble for an in-depth chat with the guys from North Melbourne. He will jump on the line and outline his strategy at the Roos for the next couple of years. Plenty to come after 8.30 as well with Racing Pulse and Michael Felgate. And then from 10.30, don't ever forget Gareth Hall in the lead-up all the way through until the opening race. Let's start, though, with the footy worldie yesterday, and it was the headline of the day, David Noble accepting the North Melbourne coaching job. Let's hear what the experienced man in football had to say about the role.
Clearly, the dynamic of the role of the coach has changed in the last 5 years. Not, I've seen that firsthand. You know, my skill set is, I guess, a broader approach, the capacity to have broader knowledge, develop the capacity to build relationships with players. I've always harboured ambitions to coach. Let's make no bones about it. But I thought my opportunity had passed. And when I did go on radio, I hadn't been contacted. And, you know, not long after that, Roosie rang and had a really in-depth conversation with me over a couple of days around the skill set that I had and what that offered. And life's about taking opportunities, Steve-O. You know, it's really at times if you've got that ambition and it pops up when it's unexpected, then I think you really have to consider it. And this one was, as I said, just the way the club operates, what I've seen over the journey of what the club stands for, the authenticity just really appealed to me. I thought they're a club that actually had made some really tough calls. They were starting to get themselves organised. Scotty Clayton on board. Johnny Blakey back. I know Blake's, you know, I played with him. Greg Luffy, Glenn Luff, I've rated for a long time in his understanding. And having, you know, some connection with Brady through the GMs, it just looked like they were a group that knew the direction that they wanted to take, and that was exciting. I think the fact that being able to, I guess, explain to the board and our members now that I get the chance is that, yeah, we've got to set a path around long-term sustainable success. You know, we're not going to chase wins, you know, just for this year. We're going to chase wins every single time we're out on the paddock. Don't make any bones about it. But we need to do it in the manner that's going to be sustainable, that's going to hold up under finals pressure, And so, you know, those experiences absolutely hold you in good stead. There's no doubt about that. We've got some young talent. We're going to the draft this year. We'll probably go to the draft again next year. We'll teach, we'll educate, we'll let them fall over and fail, and we'll pick them up and we'll keep moving them forward.
Fantastic to listen to David Noble. I'm sure the Roos supporters would be very happy with his appointment. Let's also hear from Ollie Wines. Now, here is the other big footy story yesterday, signing a new deal to keep him at Port Adelaide for another 4 years.
I'm really proud that the club was able to offer me this, and to be able to accept that, I think right now the club's in a really strong position going forward, and to be a part of that for at least the next 6 years is really special for me. I think we've built a really powerful list. We've got some developing players, sort of middle to the end of their careers, combined with this really exciting talent who are so early into their careers. So I think well past when my career's over, I think this club's in a really good position. The club came to me a while ago and said that they're looking at doing this, and I was, yeah, only too happy to sort of jump at it. As I keep saying, the club's in such a powerful position, and for me to be sort of locked away and a part of that for the indefinite future, I think I'm really, really excited about that. Probably put some rumours that swirl around every now and then to bed and let me sort of concentrate on my football and doing what I need to do to put us in a position to have a crack at it each year. So I'm so excited. I'm a part of this young developing group, and we're keen to see what we can do over the next 5 to 10 years. Yeah, I still think it took me maybe 8 to 10 weeks to sort of get going. I think my position, I've said this all along, requires a fair few games to sort of get that repetition new and sort of remember the little intricate details that you might need to carry out at stoppage to get the ball and those routes to run and patterns throughout the ground. So I think after round 10, I was really able to sort of play my best football and sort of set us up there. But now I'm through that period, and fingers crossed, touch wood, that I don't have any more injuries and I can sort of have a fresh start going into 2021 and get some pre-season games under my belt. I think I'll be back to my best for a whole 23 weeks plus finals. No, I was really good at the end of the season. We've just ticked over, well, I think this weekend we've ticked over a month since our last game. So we've just began running again and back into the gym. So it was good to have that freshen up. In the end, it was a very long season. Having trained throughout the sort of shutdown period over that 8 to 10 week period into another mini pre-season, then into games. So really, we're probably going at it for about 11 to 12 months all up, and this previous month's been good to sort of freshen the body up and get going again. But, yeah, very excited to resume back full training in January with the boys.
Ollie Wines there speaking yesterday. Let's now head to the cricket world, where David Warner spoke yesterday. Some interesting comments. First of all, we'll hear what he had to say about Joe Burns.
I've had a time with Joe Burns before in the middle. I know exactly what we're about when we're out there. As I said, building a partnership and building a bond. Obviously, we won a lot of games last year. So for me, you know, you don't really break something that's actually working.
And here's what he had to say about the potential man to take that spot, Will Pukowski.
To get into the Australian team, you've got to put numbers on the board. And Will's an exceptional talent and a great player, and for years to come, especially. He's in the right mind frame at the moment. And as I said, you know, this next sort of game, A game, is probably going to be the tell-all. Could be the bat-off for that position.
Great news yesterday with the Big Bash fixture as well being released for the second half of the season. We will finally see some sport at the MCG. Of course, the Boxing Day test, and maybe the test being moved from Adelaide. But then after that, it's going to continue through January with a few Big Bash games at the MCG, which is great news for everyone, and also the Renegades, of course, at Marvel. Let's hear from Mitch Marsh now. Now, he played in the IPL, suffered an ankle injury, and he's battling with his fitness, but hopefully he'll be right for the majority of the Australian summer.
Yeah, it's been quite slow and frustrating to watch cricket again for the summer. But yeah, hopefully I'm a couple of weeks away for the start of the Big Bash. I'll be right. Yeah, I'm really excited to get back. It's been a long few months and can't wait. Yeah, I started running last week, which is great, and got a few kilos to shed now before I start playing. The physios will probably tell me this week, hitting balls, start bowling again. As I said, it's been a pretty slow process, but from what I've spoken to a few AFL players about it, it gets pretty good. Pretty good quickly at the end, so hopefully that's the case in the next couple of weeks. At this stage, we're just batting. Yeah, I imagine that I won't probably bowl until midway through the Big Bash at this point in time, but you never know. Yeah, they've picked their test squad for the summer now, so and I'm not in it, but I knew that was going to be the case. And for me, it's about just getting back and playing Big Bash. I love playing for the Scorchers, enjoy my cricket, get fit, and play the game that I love, and all that stuff just takes care of itself down the track.
Mitch Marsh speaking there yesterday. Let's now head to the racing world. A couple of interesting interviews yesterday on Racing Pulse. And we'll start with David Van Dyke on why he parted ways with Alligator Blood.
Oh, look, for me, it's just a matter of us coming to the end of our season together. And reaching a point in time when we're going separate directions, and that decision was made over the weekend, and yeah, that's about all I really want to share on it, except that, you know, we've had an amazing time and I'm very grateful.
I don't want to labour on it, and this will be the last one, and then we'll move on to something else. But were you disappointed with the way Alan Andres, the owner, has put out social media posts since you've decided to move on in a different direction, and also maybe some of the stuff that he used to post when you were training the horse?
Oh, look, I don't judge anything Alan does. My focus in my life in general, as well as during my professional training life, is just focusing on what I do and doing that to the best of my ability. And that's my concentration. What he does is what he does, and I don't judge him either way for that.
David Van Dyke speaking there yesterday. Let's now head to Martin Pakula. He had the latest, the racing minister, on the possible return of crowds to the track. Looks like it's not going to happen this weekend, but it is in the works for a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, look, it's probably going to be tough with the Jericho, I think, just because I've spoken to the Office of Racing this morning. So basically we've got a public events framework in place where organisations that want to put on events make applications, submit COVID safe plans and get tick off. The nature of that process differs depending on the size of the event. So if it's under 500, it's very different to, you know, a Boxing Day test at the MCG. We're engaging with the industry, I think, starting today or tomorrow. I think that my suggestion has been that we talk to the three metro clubs and then probably CRV on behalf of all of the country clubs about submitting applications. It's not going to be necessary for a separate application for every single day of racing, because that would be completely unwieldy. And then GRV and HRV as well. Look, whether it can get away by Saturday, it's going to be tight. But certainly within the next week or two, I would expect to see crowds starting to come back to racetracks once those plans are submitted and ticked off by the relevant interdepartmental committee and the Department of Health and Human Services.
Martin Pakula speaking there yesterday. Time to take a break. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on all of the action from yesterday from overseas, a little bit of soccer to get through, plus some tennis news as well, with doubt still lingering over the start date for the Australian Open.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Dragging it past Mark Albrighton. Good delivery as well as a picture-book second goal. Magnificently put away by Diogo Jota.
Yeah, big win yesterday for Liverpool, 3-0 over Leicester. Meanwhile, live action at the moment, Burnley leading Crystal Palace 1-0 after 66 minutes there. A little later on this morning, Wolves to take on Southampton over there in the EPL. Let's stick with soccer, but we'll come to an Australian front now with Grant Brebner and the Melbourne Victory headed over to the Asian Champions League. This is all being played in a hub. Let's hear what the Victory coach had to say ahead of the start of the campaign.
It's a major competition, like I said, and ultimately, you know, we will get judged on results. But, you know, while I'm competitive and I want to win games, I've got to remove myself a little bit from it and say, look, where we're at is a little bit, you know, behind where we would like to be, with players arriving so late, not having any games in the build-up towards it. These genuinely aren't excuses. It's just unfortunate reality. But what we can do is we can really work hard as a group in this hotel environment in Qatar and in Sydney when we get back towards building. You know, a lot of teams talk about culture, but for me, it's just building a real togetherness.
First game tonight against Beijing Guoan, and that to kick off at 9 p.m. Let's now head to the tennis world, where uncertainty still hangs over the start date of the Australian Open. Let's hear from Jordan Thompson, who is almost inside the top 50, the young Australian, and his thoughts after getting back from the US.
Yeah, bit of talk. I mean, no one really knows what's going on, but yeah, there's been rumours thrown around everywhere. But nothing's been confirmed yet. But I can't imagine why. You know, it'll. I mean, it might not go ahead as usual in Melbourne. But something fairly similar to maybe what's been happening with, you know, bubbles, controlled environments. I think at the US Open, we went over there and yeah, we took a test on arrival. Waited for our test to come back negative, and then we were able to, you know, go out and train and do whatever we wanted within the, you know, within the bubble, which was fine. I think Tennis Australia can definitely do something like that. I know Craig Tyler will do everything to make sure that happens, but, you know, I mean, we're always waiting on the government's call as well. But, you know, it's a fairly big event in Australia, so I'm hoping it'll be similar to what they had at the US Open.
Jordan Thompson there speaking on Fox Sports yesterday. Let's head to Dan Andrews now with the latest yesterday on the Australian Open.
As I've said a couple of times, this is a massive event. It's very important to us. We want it to go ahead, but it has to go ahead safely. And as you would appreciate, you're talking about 1,000, 1,500 people coming here and having to quarantine. Bubble arrangements, you've got to protect the integrity of the event. So keeping everybody away from each other inside that bubble and then keeping them away from the Victorian community, because we jealously guard the fact that we have had 24 days with zero cases. Oh, look, we are working through those issues, and whatever arrangements we come to, I think will be much more contemporary and will supersede anything that's been said to this point. We're going to get this done, and I'm confident we will.
The Premier there speaking yesterday. Hopefully we'll get some clarity in the next couple of days. Let's head to the NRL world now, where Kevin Walters gave a bit of an indication that he's all behind Tevita Pengai Jr., who was almost sacked from the Broncos a little earlier this year. But the new coach, with his first day on the job, was all behind the big forward.
Oh, look, his attitude's been excellent. Catone's agreed to cut his hair, so we don't have to go to any of those barbershops anymore. We'll keep him out of there. And no, he's got a lot of ability.
Some horrible news in the NRL yesterday as well, with Manly Seagulls young gun Keith Titmus passing away after training. In a shock incident, he fell ill, the 20-year-old, whilst stretching after a session on Monday morning, which was yesterday, of course. He was taken to Royal North Shore Hospital and later passed away. The cause of his death is still unknown, but that has absolutely rocked the NRL world in some extremely sad news up there in Sydney. Let's head to some brighter news now, and Aaron Baines has secured a 2-year deal with Toronto over there in the US. So he's headed to the Toronto Raptors in the NBA. And he's signed a $14.3 million 2-year deal, the 33-year-old. So he was playing for the Phoenix Suns, having spent some time with the Boston Celtics before then, but he will head to Toronto for his next chapter in the NBA. So nice to see the free agent picked up yesterday. Let's head to the WNBL. Just some highlights from last night as well. University of Canberra Capitals 95, Southside Flyers 72, and the Sydney Uni Flames beating the Lynx 74-67 in the two games last night. Two more to come tonight with the Boomers taking on the Adelaide Lightning and the Spirit taking on Townsville. So more WNBL action to come a little later on. Let's head back to the cricketing world now with David Warner, and here's what he had to say about keeping a level head through the Indian series, who have been able to get under his skin a couple of times in recent matches.
It's about trying to find that balance again when I'm out in the middle. Obviously, different this year. We start with the white ball series against India, which is generally the other way around, which is going to be exciting. And obviously, you know, Virat is only playing 7 of the 10 games. So, you know, for us, it's about, you know, going out there as a team and trying to control our emotions and play them on skill.
In case you missed it earlier today, I mentioned that after 8 o'clock on The Breakfast Club, coach of the North Melbourne Football Club, David Noble, will have an in-depth chat to Half a Mighty about his new role and taking it on. Let's hear from Ben Buckley yesterday at the official announcement on the aims of the North Melbourne Football Club with their new coach at the helm.
I think if a club is not ambitious, then it's really not serving its members properly. I mean, you know, every club in the competition ultimately wants to win a premiership, and the best way to do that is to be a consistent performer in the top four. You know, time frames are always difficult things to nail down, but I think it's realistic that, you know, within that time period, we should be competing at that level, and that should be our ambition, and that should be the goal that we set ourselves as an organisation. We're not going to get there, you know, immediately. There's still, you know, parts of the puzzle to put together, and there's foundations to build on. But ultimately, that's our goal, and I don't think we should apologise for it. We have to be ambitious. We have to set our sights on the ultimate prize. And I think, you know, someone like David is realistic about the time frame, but also, you know, ambitious, and we'll put the right pieces of that puzzle together.
There we go, Ben Buckley speaking yesterday. That's about it for The Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning. Don't forget The Breakfast Club returns after 6 o'clock with Half and Whitey. Plenty to get through on the show, including, of course, David Noble after 8 o'clock this morning. Don't forget as well, from 8:30, Matty Stewart in the chair for Racing Pulse this morning, and then Gareth Hall from 10:30 with RSN Central. We've got it all covered for you in the world of racing and sport. Keep it locked on RSN, and we'll chat again tomorrow.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.